The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello and welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and I'm very excited about today's show. I want to make a couple announcements first. I have enhanced and updated my website, and I'd love to have better contact with my listeners. So if you'd like to go on the website and you can get a free audio of an interview I did, an hour-long interview about my new book, The True Secret to Weight Loss is Energy. And if you go to the contact page, you can also get a free chapter two on the seven secrets of successful parents. The second secret is about basic needs of kids. And so often it seems like they can be endless. And we'll be talking about that today. But they're basically 12 needs that you really need to check that, make that checklist for yourself when things aren't quite right. So, please go on my website and let's connect. So today we're going to be talking about dealing with parental anger. And when parents are angry and frustrated and feel they can't take it anymore from their kids, they usually either blow their stack or then regret it later, or try to control themselves by holding it all in. There's another option: to learn healthy, constructive ways to release all that anger and get it out of your body safely, quickly, and efficiently. My guest this week on Family First is award-winning author and therapist Jude Bijou, who says that parents should take a page from their kids' playbook. Psychotherapist Jude Bijou has found that most kids know instinctively the healthy ways to release anger, sadness, and fear, and then feel instant relief. She shows parents how to do this in an appropriate way that won't traumatize their kids' fragile psyches. Her groundbreaking discoveries appear in her book, Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. And she'll be sharing on our show the simple principles which have helped countless clients and students to do exactly that. Jude Bijou has an MA and an MFT. She's a respected psychotherapist, professional educator, and workshop leader. Her theory of attitude reconstruction evolved over more than 30 years working with clients as a licensed marriage and family therapist. Her theory is described in her wonderful book, Attitude Reconstruction, and there really is a blueprint in there for building a better life. The daughter of pioneering behavioral child psychologist Sidney W. Bijou, Jude Bijou launched her private psychotherapy practice in 1982 and also began teaching communication courses through Santa Barbara City College Adult Education. Word spread quickly about the success of the Attitude Reconstruction program, and Jude soon became a sought-after workshop and seminar leader. She is a longtime student of Eastern philosophy, having immersed herself in the world of meditation and Vedic philosophy when she found something was seemed to be missing in the Western psychology approach that she'd been educated in. The result is an integrated, holistic approach to viewing ourselves and our relationships. So welcome to Family First, Jude Bijou.
Oh, it is just my pleasure to be here.
Ah, well, certainly my pleasure to have you. How did you first, your own journey, how did you first get interested in becoming a psychotherapist?
Well, I always enjoyed people. And like, even as a young child, it's like having all my friends and help them figure out what their problems were and what the solution was. But I wasn't happy. And so what I think that all this has come from is that desire in myself. It's like, where's the book? Where's the manual so that I can be happy? It should be possible, but I'm not feeling it, and either is anybody I come in contact with. So that really was born of that desire to find what works.
Very cool. So, did you feel that you were a little bit of a guinea pig in your home with your father being such a well-known child psychologist?
No, not at all. I think it was in the very early days of the behavioral movement, and he was just a regular dad. I remember like going to the lab and helping out, making little tiny cookies to give his treats and so on, but I only have fond memories of those times.
Oh, that's good to hear. So tell me about writing Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. Why did you put your ideas together in this book?
Well, I was just drawn to do that. It's just like it's something that I knew. It's like, okay, I don't have the pieces, but as I did my own therapy and got training to become a psychotherapist, I started to work in the realm of emotions. And as I looked closer and deeper, the pieces started to come together. And then a lot of the things I would hear from meditation and philosophy gave me missing pieces. And a lot of them, I observe it in clients, missing pieces. And what came together finally was this blueprint that really correlates. These are our six, we only have six emotions. And this is the way we think when we're feeling a given emotion. This is the way we speak. This is the way we act. So it got very clear over a long time that these kind of behaviors, this that we do, is going to just create more sadness, anger, and fear. And that we have a choice. We can contradict all of those old ways that aren't working with specific thoughts and specific words and doing things a little differently and create the emotions of joy, love, and peace.
I love the simplicity of that idea of boiling down all the different feelings that we have to these six emotions. And you do it so clearly in the book because you make, there's a lot of lists of, and how they really are either sadness, fear, or anger. So I think that's very creative and makes it very accessible to help a person figure out what am I really feeling? What's the emotion that's moving me? So, Jude, how does failing to deal with our emotions lead to our problems?
Well, we got all these messages from our culture, from our families, that it wasn't okay to express emotions. And it really goes back to realizing that these six emotions and that all these emotions are physiologies in the body. They're sensations within us. We know how they feel. We know how anger feels. And we feel that tightening and we want to strike out. And we know what fear feels like, that agitation and jitteriness. And we know what sadness feels like in our body. We're that down and sad. And so if we start by just identifying what is the emotion that we're feeling in our body, then we can go, okay, now what can I do about this emotion? How am I going to move it so I'm not stuck in it?
Okay, so if you have a parent who's coming home tired and didn't like what his boss said to him, or a mom whose boss chewed her out, or just she couldn't get done all the work she wanted to get done, she's still thinking about it, she's feeling angry, what she does with her emotion make a difference for how the rest of her day goes?
Absolutely, because, again, it's just energy, and it starts with that self-awareness. Okay, I'm just feeling this energy in my body. I need to get it out. I need to get it out physically and constructively, not in a way I'm not going to yelling at the kids doesn't help and holding it in doesn't help. I need to find a way and move that energy, that pure energy out of the body. It's not like I'll go exercise. Because if you look at a kid, when they're mad, they don't go, oh, I think I'll exercise. I think I'll do some deep breathing. What kids do, they have that tantrum. Their faces get red and they kick and they scream. And the energy moves out unless we stop them. If we put them someplace safe, they'll move, they'll kick and scream and so on. And then it passes. They get interested in something else. They fall asleep. They start to laugh. They start to cry. And they move on. And that's what we need to start doing. So the dad that comes home or the mom, anybody, we need to think in advance. Okay, I know I'm going to feel anger. Where am I going to go? Where is a safe place for me to move this energy? Because it's in me. It's not that the wife doesn't have the dinner on the table, or it's not that the kids' toys are all out in the yard. It's I'm feeling this energy. I need to move it out. And so maybe we go to the garage. Maybe go to the back bedroom. Find a place, and then also equally find an activity that you can do where nothing of value is destroyed. You don't want to destroy other people, and you don't want to be throwing expensive china and hurting somebody. That's not the point, but I've got to move that anger energy out of my body. And maybe we're going to stomp. Maybe we're going to take a pillow and wrestle it, and grab it on both sides and wrestle it, make those noises and push it, or push against the wall really, really, really hard, or against the doorway, or scream into a pillow. But we've got to just move that energy out of our body. And what's interesting is that when we're doing it, we have to be careful what we're thinking and what we're saying.
Right. I want to explore that a little more, because it's different from the typical recommendations of, you know, temper your anger, calm down, you're an adult, be mature. And you're saying that that natural way that a child physically gets that energy out with hopefully without hurting anything or anybody, that's something that we can access as adults in a healthy way.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. That it's just energy, and we've got to follow their lead. They just do that. They don't think, oh, well, what am I going to do? They just go and do it automatically, and it moves. But it is that there's no words there. I mean, when we're angry, there's no words. We can start to, oh, well, I'm angry about this or that or this or that. But it's just that, that we need to find a safe place to let that out. What I have clients do when they come here, and often suggest that either you can get a heavy bag and you can hang in a garage or something like that, and a plastic tubing, flexible plastic tubing, that you can just go and smash that heavy bag. Or I have something that I learned a long time ago of just using old phone books and just smashing those phone books with the hose. And I'll have clients do that over and over and over. And, you know, at some point, it's like they're done. They're exhausted. But now they can think. Now they can figure out what they need to do. Because just like it, we move that energy, then the father can come back and go, okay, well, what's for dinner and how's your day go? Because he's taken responsibility and moved that energy.
Yeah, that's a great idea, responsibility. And that's another thing, just when your child does have that kind of tantrum, I've found in my own family counseling practice that parents just, they get fearful that the child's just going to throw this tantrum the rest of the night, and they think they better give in, instead realizing that the child is letting go and it's not going to go on all night. The child knows you're the parent, and if you've drawn a line, you know, they're just angry, that's all.
Exactly. And just think, go and do that. Take them to that safe designated place, and it's like, go for it. I'll be outside the door, or I'll be in the living room or wherever. But just go for it. I see you're angry. You couldn't have that cookie, and you're tired, or whatever reason. Go ahead and get that out. Kids love
yeah.
to do it.
One of my mentors years ago, he said, you know, if the child's driving you crazy, just lie down on the floor and beat the ground with your fists and yell some noisy sound, and it might frighten them that you're having a tantrum, but then they'll know that you're upset and you can also release your energy.
Now that's a fabulous mentor to have, because that's just exactly what I'm saying. That's perfect. You just moved it up. We haven't done anything where we're going to regret. We haven't hurt, the child and blame them. We've just moved that energy.
And I think it's a really important aspect that where you brought your Eastern and Western traditions together of honoring our body. It's not all in our head, these emotions. It's in our body, and to honor it that we've created this kind of energy, we need to move it on. And I see it as a way of honoring not just the mind but the body side. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's beautiful, because those anger is natural. It's not like we should strive for no anger. We're going to have it because it's natural as a reaction to violations or injustices. We hear about somebody getting bilked out of a lot of money, an elderly person. We naturally feel that emotion. That's a violation. Or somebody breaks into our house. It is going to be things that always come up. And so we're going to have to find a way to deal with that energy.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So, what does it really take to remember to go in the garage and beat the punching bag? Or, I remember when my dad died, I was so angry, and I just went out back and I yelled at the moon. I literally just went out back and yelled at the moon. And it was great, you know, and it was kind of strange because after I'd done that for a couple minutes, I felt better.
But that's exactly right. I mean, because that's the thing about all of attitude reconstruction is that intuitively it makes so much sense. I mean, you're not saying, oh, I wrote that. I read that in the book, so I thought I'd try that. That's just what came forward. And then you felt different. Because that's the whole thing. When we handle and honor our emotions in a really constructive way, they move through us pretty darn quickly, whether we're talking about the fear we're feeling at a moment or the sadness or the anger. But the most important thing, as I said, and I just can't say enough, is what we're thinking and what we're saying while we're getting that anger out. Because as long as I'm blaming and you shouldn't be like that and what I say, you-ing, telling other people about themselves, it's the traffic, it's the drivers, it's the this, it's that, I'm going to just only recirculate that anger. I can be pounding or screaming all day, and I haven't done anything to move that energy out of my body because I've just been thinking that person shouldn't be like that, that person shouldn't be like that. That's not going to move the energy. I just need to be thinking, I just am mad. Oh, I'm angry. I feel angry, angry, angry. Or just make sounds. Oh, that will allow the body to do what it needs to do.
That makes so much sense. And I feel like, you know, they say road rage is increasing and people are more impatient when they're out and about. And of course, the worst thing is to bring it home and take it out on the kids. So rewiring the thought patterns mean? How does that help deal with these emotional feelings?
Mm-hmm. Well, some people will go, oh, that makes so much sense. I mean, it feels so good to pound and, you know, just let it go, because you pound with abandon. You know, you just like kick and scream. That's why you go someplace safe and you just, and just let it go. And then you just feel that release. And you know how good it feels and how fast. But some people go, there's no way I'm going to do that. That's just stupid, blah, blah, blah. And we can also use our thinking to deal with our anger. Because anger in the mind, as I said, when we have a violation or an injustice, we naturally, those events naturally create anger. But we also create anger and perpetuate it in our own mind. With what we do is we don't accept what is. We think things should be different. You should be different. He should be different. They should be different. It should be different. And that's what's also creating all this energy of anger that we see.
Jude, we're up on our first break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the five different tools. We've talked some about the emotion, and now we're talking about the thoughts. And I want to come back to that after the break, so stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking with Jude Bijou, who is a respected psychotherapist, professional educator, and workshop leader. And we're talking about dealing with parental anger, which is one of many emotions, the six emotions that she explains in her book, Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint of Building a Better Life. And she describes there basically just six emotions, and three of them kind of scare us and we don't like them, but we have ways of de-energizing them and transforming them into joy, love, and peace. So Jude, we were talking about how emotions are real. They're in the body. They're energy that needs to be dealt with. You can't hide it. It'll just come out some other way. And it's like acting out in kids, but the adults are doing it. So we were talking about actually doing something physical to deal with anger before you dump it on a friend or a child or something in the house, like slamming the door or something, because that could upset other people. So that was the reworking the emotions is one of the five tools that you describe in the book. And we had started to talk about the thought patterns. And so how does one rewire the unhelpful thought patterns that tend to feed these negative emotions and keep you stuck?
Well, it's something that I really learned from my foray to the East and to the world of meditation. So first we have to do is, instead of a mantra, which is what we often get, we need to have a phrase, a sentence that's true, that's in English, that's true, that contradicts our old trashy thinking. And there happens to be one for anger that covers 90%, 95% of all of our trashy thinking. And that is that people and things are the way they are, not the way I want them to be. People and things are the way they are, not the way I want them to be. And this is actually a very wise expression that Dr. Albert Ellis coined many years ago that he gave me permission to use in there, because it's really the epitome of that anger kind of thinking that thinks that everything should be our way, and I'm going to judge you and not accept you and so on. So if we do 100,000 reps, I say, people and things are the way they are, not the way I want them to be. And then you can put your child's name or your spouse's name. That's the way he is. Jimmy is the way he is, not the way I want him to be. Jimmy is the way he is, not the way I want him to be. So as we keep practicing that, we can get it. Oh, guess what? I better accept it. That's the way Jimmy is. And then we can start to have conversation because we can make that shift. I don't have to deal with the anger physically. I can do it mentally by accepting.
That's very powerful, and it makes it reminds me that one of the key steps in the recovery programs, and you talk about addiction in your book, is the first thing is acceptance. Things are as they are. They may change, but in this moment, they just are as they are, and they're not the way you might want them. Yeah, that's such a powerful truth.
It really is. It's just that the old thinking is so ingrained that we think it should be our way rather than I really have to get this. People are the way they are. People are the way they are. And you can be saying that at work, at home, in any situation, any age. You can teach a child who's, 5 years old. People are the way they are, not the way I want them to be. And it's like you're saying truth. And it fosters love. That's the thing, acceptance. Anger makes separation. That's you versus me. And the opposite emotion is love. And when we go to acceptance, we feel more love.
That's so powerful. And I think the way we're raised in our very individualistic culture, we tend to think that we should control situations and things should go our way. And we have to back off of that and say, wait a minute, that's not, if I'm just angry about everything because it's not my way, that's not going to do anybody any good.
That's right. That's right, because we have to work together. We're all on the planet together. We're all in the family together. We're going to have to come from a stance of acceptance, because that changes the whole dynamic around rather than dad needs to be different or mom does this or the kids are like that. It can start by sitting around the table and having everybody, you'd laugh. Have everybody practice that. Say everybody else's name and say the little line.
That's neat.
Yeah, because it's just part of, if we can get acceptance, I think there's only three life lessons, and that's really one of the real big ones. If we can accept, then it doesn't mean we're passive. It means we accept, and from that place of love, then we can go, all right, so what are we going to do? So how are we going to solve our differences? But it's based not on, oh, you're wrong and I'm right. It's based on, well, we see things differently. And now what are we going to do? Let's work it out together.
And then you don't have to take on this idea that somehow you have to make the other person conform or change them. Rather, you look to you and see, where you can work together to find your solution. That's so powerful.
Exactly. Exactly.
And now in your book, you have many, many truths. That's obviously one of the most powerful ones for anger. But you share many truths. And how do they differ from affirmations where someone might look in the mirror and say, I'm going to be kind to my kids. I'm not going to fight with my husband anymore. Those are affirmations that, saying something positive that's not quite true or it's not quite true yet. What's the difference between that and truths?
Well, those are really wishes or desires. There's like some, I'd like to be that, which is, it has some merit, but the truth is strong. The truth will set us free. And so if we're thinking statements that are unequivocally true, that people can't argue with, something like for fear, to really know something like, this feeling is temporary. This situation will pass. This feeling is temporary. This situation will pass, rather than, oh, my gosh, we're having a travesty. Oh, my God. We get so wrapped up in a big drama and then are creating a lot more fear in this case, not so much anger there, but fear in bringing everything all into one big overgeneralization lump, rather than going, I have to, stay right here. What's the reality right now?
Yeah, that's a powerful question indeed. And it seems like that one of the, I learned long ago one of the best ways to stick with the truth is to not worry about other people's reality, but just share your own. And can you talk some about you describe it so beautifully, the I message, using I instead of you when you're angry. Can you tell us more about that? I love that.
Well, that's that thing. Good old anger, our friend anger, naturally puts the energy outside. It's out in the outer world. It's you that I don't accept. It's other people. It's things. It's situations. And so that, so when we're having those arguments, well, you didn't do that, and you're like this. It's like, are we creating any kind, you know, does that help? You know, I'm yelling the same thing in you, and you're yelling at me. But, you know, we're not getting any understanding. What we have to do, and it's so much easier after we move that energy or done a little, you know, reminding ourselves to accept that people are the way they are, then we say, well, what's true for me? I say, what's my I? And these I's are not a new concept. But when we think about it, if I'm an I, I'm talking about myself. Oh, I'm feeling angry right now, or I really need some help in the kitchen right now, or whatever's true for us, that's where we are safe, because it's true. I believe it because it's just because I believe it. That's what's true for me right now. But when I get out of my backyard and into yours, trouble. Not bringing love anywhere near into the equation. Unless somebody asks for advice, that's different.
That's great. So with the dealing with our expressing our emotions physically, looking at our thoughts and speaking to ourselves the truth instead of using truths, instead of just
that
spouting
wah,
our anger
wah,
about
wah,
someone
wah,
else.
Wah, 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 that we have running in our brain all the time. You know, we have that commentary that isn't supporting us for joy, love, and peace. And instead, putting in some of these thoughts that are really guaranteed, because they're true. These are thoughts that will pacify fear. These are thoughts that will pacify anger. These are thoughts that will pacify sadness. And actually, on my website, people can find a lot of these handouts that they can download to get an idea of reliable truths and pick ones that work for them.
Yeah, you have wonderful lists, and I'm sure people can find, you know, their three favorites that are just going to dissipate their what you call trashy thinking in those moments when their blood's starting to boil. So we've talked about emotions and thoughts. So tell us about intuition. What's the key to accessing one's true intuition, and how does that help with everyday problem solving?
Well, I want to go back just the tiniest bit first,
sure.
And that is to something you just said, because it's so important, and that is when you get a list of truths, pick three. It's exactly what you said, one to help me for the sadness, one for the anger, one for the fear, or two or three, because we can't have 20 different thoughts. Sometimes when I'm teaching class, people, oh, I like this one and I like that one. We need to have a thought and then repeat it over and over again, like that mantra, over and over, like night and day when we're doing it as a one-time activity, right? I'm going to just take 5 minutes and repeat it over and over. People are the way they are, not the way I want them to be. Or while I'm driving or in the shower or at any time, we have to get, just like even, like you say, three thoughts will really start to change our inner state and how we feel and really change our emotions. And so we'll feel actually more genuine joy, love, and peace, because those are physical emotions like sadness, anger, and fear.
Yeah, that's a great point, because if someone says, oh, you know, I need to remember all these thoughts, it's the repetition of something that really speaks to you that's going to help you change your thinking. Isn't that right?
Yes, and that's, I give clients, I'll pull out a piece of paper and say, all right, and it's the same one that's in the book, all right, pick one of these. Pick two, because everybody knows which ones will work for them. Some will resonate, and some go, oh, that doesn't have any. Nah, that's not my issue. But you can go, oh, that one's, oh, I really need that one. Okay, one step at a time, one thing at a time. Stay specific, one thing at a time. Whatever talks to you, but just have little simple things, because the change comes by little changes, little steps. So They don't get too much so that they can be effective. You can start to use them and they can make them workable for you.
That's so important because it's not a difficult program. It takes focus and persistence, but it's not difficult if you work through the program and just get the idea that few simple actions, simple thoughts can make a difference. So now tell us about the intuitive part. How do we access that deeper knowing that the kids seem to have?
Well, kids have it precisely for that reason, because they don't have a lot of stored up emotions. So they know what's true for them. It's just right there. But what happened with us is we had all of these emotions have dampened down and sort of closed us off from our heart, from our intuition, so that we can't hear. It's like, I don't know what my, it's like, well, again, we close down our heart and we're into our head. Oh, let me make a list. Here are the pros and here are the cons. And I'm trying to solve decisions mentally, logically, and it just doesn't work very well compared to let me, again, express some emotions. Let me go pound for a few minutes. Then I'll ask myself, well, what's really true for me? What's true for me? And we have a lot better chance of hearing after we move the anger or after we've done 11 times repetition of people are the way they are. Then just pause and ask, well, what's true for me? What's true for me about the specific topic, whatever, about whether I want to go to that weekend this weekend, whether I want to do that this. What's true for me? And we know. We just have to pause and listen because we know. And the hardest part is...
That's so important. People don't realize that they do know deep down. So can you give an example? We have a couple minutes before the next break. An example of a problem that a parent might have where they need to access their tuition. Say their 14-year-old daughter says, I have to go to this party, and you know there's bad people at that party. And she's not listening, and she knows better, and you're just starting to lose it. Where can you go to get that intuitive
Well, you already know. You said it at the first, and that is, I know it doesn't make sense as a mom for her to go to that party. So I say, hold on to it. Don't let all of the wearing down and all the arguing distract you from your truth. You don't have to go back to your intuition. Just hold on to it. Because then the issue becomes, how am I going to communicate it? I already know what my truth is. I really don't want her to go this weekend. I'm just not ready to have her go and do that. So then now I'm going to deliver my message, and then I have to do a lot of listening. I don't give her lectures after that and try to convince her and all those kind of things. I just want to listen to her. Listen to her talk about how unfair it is and what she'll miss and everybody else. I'm just going to let her talk. But I'm going to stick with what my heart knows, what I know, and that is not quite ready to go to those kind of parties yet.
Excellent. Yeah, that's so true, because parents do have an instinct, and sometimes they rationalize and the child convinces them. Like you said, they start doing the pros and cons instead of like, wait a minute, this is wrong. We're not doing it. You can throw a tantrum if you want, but
exactly.
This is the way.
You can tell me I'm the worst mother in the whole world and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, that's just their anger. They don't like it. It's an injustice. It's a violation, but they're not going. I can stay loving because I know what's true for me. I know that it doesn't make sense. So I just stay there. And then know that I'm going to get resistance, but then I'm going to just stay in my truth, following my intuition.
That's great. We're up on another break, Jude. We're going to talk when we come back about the four rules of communication, which I love. I think that's so important in the family. And we're speaking with Jude Bijou, who's the author of Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life. So stay tuned.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun?
Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Jude Bijou, who is the author of Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life, and we're talking about dealing with parental anger. Jude is a psychotherapist and has been working with marriage and family counseling for 30 years and brought together her insights in this wonderful book that really has literally a blueprint, a plan, and it's not that hard. You don't have to be an architect to do it. It's a great guide to dealing with our emotions in constructive ways, and particularly we're focusing on anger today. And we've talked about three of the tools that we have to get in touch with our emotions, to have healthier thoughts, to stick with our truth, and to honor our intuition. And so the next one is speech, and I think communication is so key in the family, Jude. So tell us about the four rules of communication that you developed for your work.
Okay. Well, what's nice is there's only four rules. So we don't have to go, oh, what am I supposed to do next? And what's, there's four rules, and I say that if we do the first two rules, we'll get the other ones.
Hmm.
So for the first rule, I've talked about a little bit, but we'll definitely talk about more, is talking about ourselves. That's that I. That's what I know. That's what's true for me. So I can talk about myself. And the second rule is to stay specific. Stay specific. And it's so interesting because in medicine, it's all about specifics, mathematics, business, instructions, traffic rules, manufacturing, computers, science, cooking, everything is in specifics, but nobody told us we need to communicate about specifics. So when we go to kids and say, you never clean up your room and you're just going to be a slob, and these big generalizations, we are really just not doing effective communication. I say we're making communication violations, because if we stick with specifics, then the child knows what we're talking about, and we know what we're talking about. This is the specific, and this is what's true for me about that specific thing. So if we start thinking a little differently and go, okay, eyes and specifics, what's the specific event? Because there's always a specific event that needs to be talked about. It's like when we're talking to the daughter about not going to the party, we don't bring in the whole kitchen sink about what she didn't do last week, so she's really technically grounded, and, you know, something that she's doing over here. No, we're just talking about my truth about this specific event. You can't go.
That's so powerful, the specifics, because you just get when you hurt people just saying, well, you never listen to me, or you're always trying to do something that's wrong. Those always and nevers, just, it's a generalization, and you get so far away from what's getting you both riled up at the moment.
Exactly. What is the specific topic? Because if we can figure and isolate what that is, then we can handle it, because it's that big. We haven't made this brush fire that is just running up and down the canyons. It's just localized, and we can handle it. This is the specific, because what I often say with couples is, all right, instead of having those fights, you know, you start and one topic, and then you bring in another and another, and like 3 hours have passed, and you don't even know what you were fighting about. You much less come to any kind of solution. We'd have to go, all right, we're going to deal with this. Oh, but I want to deal with that. Great. Let's write it down, but we're not going to deal with it now. First, let's finish this one topic. So we stick with, like, little manageable units, and that we'll be able to find solutions. We'll be able to understand each other because we've stayed with I's and specifics.
Yeah, that's so powerful. I remember reading an essay years ago by an Englishman, and I don't remember who it was, but he said that one of the keys to a good marriage was to never generalize. He said, don't ever say, oh, you're just like a man, or you're acting just like every woman. Instead, you say, well, gee, you know, you didn't hear me when I said blah, 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 instead of generalizing and painting with a broad brush that makes that person angrier.
Exactly. It just ignites more distance. So those are the first two rules, which is really I's and specifics. And because if you do that, if you're going, all right, I better be vigilant, you'd have to take that moment. Well, what's true for me? Again, we're so schooled. I say we have PhDs in telling everybody else about themselves. We know our partner's flaws and our children's flaws. We know it to a T. Rather, we're going to have to turn that lens around to ourselves. So if I come into that I and specific, then I'm naturally going to be more kind. It's just like then I'm going to look for positive solutions and offer praise and appreciation and feel grateful. That will come along, like just going with that, not what doesn't work, because that just makes for more anger. But, well, let's find creative solutions. Let's find ways we can get together, because love is coming together. It's looking for that unity and that connection. How are we going to work on this together? That's kindness. It's like you're fine, and you believe one thing, and I'm fine, and I believe. Let's work together. That's going to be that kind attitude is going to make us be able to have that safe space to talk about what's true for ourselves about that specific event.
Yeah, and that's so important in the parenting context, because when you say be kind and grateful and appreciative, that doesn't mean that you bend your truth as far as who you are as a parent and what you think is right for your child. It's about communicating in a kind, respectful, specific way. Is that right?
Exactly. 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 You have to stay true to yourself, so not true to your shoulds in your head, but in true to what you really feel, and then communicate that in a very loving way. And because that really takes me to the fourth rule, which is to listen. So three are about speaking, I, specifics, and kindness. And the fourth rule is really about listening. And if we are communicating by following the three rules, there's not a problem listening, because I'm not being attacked. I'm not being convinced. I'm just hearing your position, and I want to understand. So because listening creates understanding, and then that creates, okay, now we have a foundation to work together, and then we have feelings of connection, love connection, come together because we've listened. You know, it's 50-50. You got to talk half the time and listen so I understand the other person, and I want them to understand me. So I have people, couples can do this when they come home from work and around the family table. It's fabulous to just set a little timer, give everybody 1 minute to talk. 1 minute talks, nobody makes comments about it, whatever. Talk, the bell goes off, then they finish the sentence. The next person gets to talk for a minute or 2 minutes about their day and what's going on for them. Then the next person, 1 or 2 minutes, everybody gets respected in terms that they're just listened to because the other people want to just hear them. Don't have to retort, or it's not about anything else. It's just about, this is what's going on for me.
Right. It's not about starting to judge or panic about what they're saying.
No.
They hate their math teacher. They don't want to go to school. You just hear them out.
You just have to. It starts with, if they really feel listened to, so that I can genuinely say, you know, it sucks that you have to go and, you know, be with that teacher that you really don't resonate with so well. But if I can say that, you know, not flippantly, but with that, then the child is going to feel understood. And it's like, okay, well, how are we going to work together? Since you have to do that, how are we going to get it so that it makes a minimal amount of impact on your life? But it starts by them feeling really, truly understood. We don't have to agree, but we really have to understand what they're saying. Especially, they're saying, "Oh, I hate you, and you're so mean." We want to help them go talk about yourself. Say your I. Say what the specific goes with I's and specifics. The whole family is going to try to go into talking about themselves. Because I'll sometimes suggest that you can have a signal. When people are you-ing you, you know, you know how it feels when somebody tells you, you know, makes teasing comments, you're fat and you're stupid and you didn't do that. We know how it feels awful and doesn't promote good conversation. So you can have little things, throw like Kleenex on the floor every time when somebody's making you's. It's like, turn that you around, like what's really your eye underneath that? So if we can keep coming back, then I can listen to you forever because you're just talking about yourself, and I want to understand you.
That's so important because it's not just for the parents. The parents can help the kids do this too and learn it when they're 5 instead of 55.
That's it exactly, because we all want to be listened to, and we all need to learn how to talk, and we just weren't taught. It just comes down to that. You know, the rules are so simple, but we weren't taught those kind of things yet.
Right, right. So we just have a few more minutes. I would want to talk about how we can use this attitude reconstruction process to get out of a stuck situation. Like, say, if I'll just propose, like a 10-year-old boy just refuses to even talk to his mom anymore because he thinks she just doesn't get him. So and so the parents just feels completely stuck. Like, he won't even look at me. He won't even speak to me. What do I do now?
Uh-huh. Well, now, and like with the example you're using, you're going to have to try to make an assessment about whether it's something that you can try to do or whether you need to bring a third party, a qualified person in to help the situation. But mm-hmm. say you're going to work with that. I think it starts because the key to making action and making change is to deal with, again, it's that specifics. It's like small little steps. So it's not like we expect him now to be like our normal 10-year-old that we have always dreamed that we were going to have when he was 10. No. Mm-hmm. So we set our expectations really low. It's like, gee, I want to just get him to be to talk to me for 1 minute. I don't need to have whatever. I just need to listen for 1 minute. Oh, no, 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 no. It's like, hey, I want to sit here until you say something. I need to hear something about how school was today. And I say that with love, and I'm going to just keep, hey, no, I want to stay here till I hear something about school, how school was. 1 minute on school, just 1 minute. But again, it's not like I'm not fighting. He's angry, is what you're indicating, is somebody, a child who has a lot of anger. They need to get that phone book and that hose and find some constructive way. It's not just in sports or so on, a constructive way to move that energy out so that that they'll feel like they want to talk more. But it's like, I'm going to just set the space and say, hey, I'm here. I want to hear this one. I want to hear one little bit. And then I don't make judgments about it. I just say, hey, thanks so much. Thanks so much. Thanks so much. So I'm really like looking for little bits. Again, we're not paying attention to what's not working. We're really trying to give a lot of that kindness that says, hey, I really appreciate you did come the first time I called.
That makes so much sense. I've often said to parents, all you've got to do is be more patient than the child. You just sit there until he's tired of being silent.
and with love, see, it's because I've already accepted that he's, you know, the way he is. He's not the way I want him to be. So I'm not surprised that he's going to really make a stand and dig his heels in. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to say, hey, nope. Hey, Pete, I want to hear something. I want to hear something before we move on. That's the way it is. And I'm just going to stay with that. It's a broken record. Hey, no, I need to hear something. Sooner or later, you know, you'll both start laughing and, you know.
Exactly.
You might think,
well, we're up on the end of the show already, Jude. This is a conversation with Jude Bijou. Attitude Reconstruction is her book, and it's a fabulous book. She goes into 33 destructive attitudes and how to move them to joy, love, and peace. And she makes it very simple and clear. Small, easy steps. Just takes persistence and consciousness. So any final word, Jude?
No. Well, one is to visit the website. I can take
Good.
A survey that will tell what your strongest attitudes are that are not serving you and give you some suggestions about how to work with those. But in general, I think to just start to be aware of what's going on in your body. Is it sadness, anger, and fear? And if it's sadness, give yourself a minute to cry. You know, go find someplace safe. And if it's fear, you might shake and shiver a little bit. If it's anger, I've got to move this out. So just starts with a little awareness because we're taking that responsibility, and then we can reengage with the family.
That's excellent. Thank you so much. And your website is www.attitudereconstruction.com. Thank you so much for being a guest on Family First, Jude. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Randy.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.